email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Michael Greco!
Hello!
I know what people shout at you.
Beppe.
Yes.
Of course they do. Yeah. Yeah. That's life. That's the way it is.
And does it ever annoy you?
I've had it for 27 years, you know, and I haven't been in the show for 23 of those years. So, but I'm going to get it probably for the rest of my life, you know, but it gave me a good life. It's closed some doors, it's opened others. So, you know, what can I do? I'm not going to complain.
Great to see you. Thanks for coming in. So you're in 12 Angry Men.
Mm.
You're juror number 7.
Yep.
It's at the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre. Some people will know the movie, but just tell them the plot.
Basically, it's about 12 jurors who go to deliberate about whether they're going to find this kid guilty or not. And obviously in America and, well, most places in the world, you have to have 12 yeses or 12 noes. Well, you can't have 12 noes, but if you have one no and 11 yeses, then, you know, then it's a hung jury. So we have to basically talk to each other for an hour and a half about if we think this kid is guilty. And there are 11 yeses and one no. So then that all swings around, and I can't really give it away, but there's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing, a lot of arguing. It's fantastic. It keeps you on the edge of your seats.
Yeah. And you are the guy who has a date with a baseball game.
Yeah. So basically, in today's, I'm a Chelsea fan. So say Chelsea were playing Barcelona in the Champions League final. And, you know, I have to be at the ground at 7 o'clock. I've got tickets. So it'd be like, right, I'm in the jury. I get to the juror's room at 4 o'clock. Let's go. Yes, yes. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Right. Get out of here. But there's one person who says not guilty. And you think, oh, come on, man. I've got places to go. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And it goes on.
Your frustration becomes anger, and thus the name of the play. And at some stage in the play, all 12 get angry.
That's right.
And there's a lot of soap royalty.
Yeah, there is a lot of soap royalty. But you know what? People look at soap. I was talking to someone earlier about it. There's some fantastic actors who have done soap, and it's because it's a great way of living, you know.
Mm.
And I think there is still a kind of the way certain people look at soap actors and think, oh, you're just a soap actor and this, that and the other. But actually, most soap actors have done fantastic other stuff, you know, they don't get the recognition that they should. And four of us are quite recognisable from different soaps, and we're all in this. And all four of us are pretty well established in the theatre world as well. And we had our first night last night, and it was a standing ovation. Yeah. It was incredible. I was quite moved, actually, that the audience were huge, and supposedly were selling out. I think the last three or four shows are a virtual sellout.
Had you been in the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre before?
No, I'd never been to it.
It's a wonderful theatre. Wow.
It's the biggest and best theatre I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it obviously...
That was built just before the whole crash happened.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So if it was 2 years later, it probably wouldn't have happened.
No. It's phenomenal. Yeah. It's as soon as you stand on that stage and you've got over 1,000 to 2,000 people in front of you ready to entertain them, just the adrenaline rush that you get is just second to none.
And although it's in a jury room, so there's no big set changes, there is a subtle change throughout the play.
That's right. We have a revolving table. So we're sat around the table, and it faces the audience, and then by the end of Act 1, it turns 180 degrees, and by the end of Act 2, it's turned 360 degrees.
But slowly, obviously.
But really slowly, you can't see it turning.
Right.
Because after 10 minutes, you go, the audience go, I'm sure that table's moved, but no stagehands have come on to turn it. And they're really trying to see the table turn.
And is that to emphasise different characters? Is that it?
Yeah, and it's the sands of time and... And at one point, it's perpendicular to... it's parallel to the audience. And so juror number 8, who's the one guy that says, I don't think he's guilty, acts as Jesus in a way. And we're all surrounding the table, and there's like this image. But it's this... it's fantastic.
Have you ever been on a real jury?
I was asked to be a juror when I was in EastEnders the first year, and it was for a murder trial. I managed to get off it. Not the murder, obviously, but I managed to not go. It wasn't me, because at the time I was quite prevalent on EastEnders, and a lot of people knew who I was. So I got out of it because...
Well, you would have become the show, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
you would have been a distraction.
I would have been a distraction. And also, you know, I'm going to be fearing for my life, aren't I, if I'm one of the 12 people that's going to send this guy to jail.
Yeah.
Or whatever. You know, there could have been retribution, this, that and the other, and retaliation. So
juries are in the news again, because because they're picking the jury for the Donald Trump
That's
case.
Right.
I see the headman has Irish connections.
Right.
So they can, it's like a casting, really.
Yeah, it is.
Because they want each, the defence and the prosecution, they want people they think are going to...
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is another topic. My favourite ever TV show is The Sopranos, and there's one where one of the big mafia guys gets away with it because one of the jurors has been threatened to not plead guilty. I'm sure stuff like that happens all over the world. Mm. So, you know, it's something not really, it's not to chat about, but you just don't know, do you?
No, you don't know. Listen, just to go back to something you said earlier on, you're a Chelsea supporter.
Yes.
What about Palmer?
Oh,
what?
Sensational.
A hat-trick and then four.
You know, if he gets a golden boot this year, be the first midfield player since Ronaldo did it many years ago.
Wow.
What a player.
And is he even with the pyjama boy? The guy from Man City, I can never remember his name.
Pyjama. Who's the pyjama
the guy who buys all the pyjamas. He's the top scorer at the moment.
Oh,
in the
Haaland.
Yeah, he's
one ahead of Haaland, I think.
Yes. Oh, he's one ahead
he's
of him.
He's one ahead of him. Haaland hasn't had the best of seasons. I'm sure Haaland would overtake him. But, yeah,
will you explain what happened, though? Because just for people who don't know, it was Chelsea v Everton. Mm. I think it was 4-0 at this stage, penalty. Mm-hmm. And then there was a bit of a skirmish.
Yeah, Cole Palmer, who's our penalty taker, had already scored 3 goals.
Yes.
And the penalty came. So the guy who thought he was the reason Chelsea got the penalty,
Medwaki,
he wanted to take the penalty. And one of our other strikers agreed that he should. But Cole Palmer's a penalty taker.
Right.
So just because he scored 3 goals already... doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's not the point. He scored 9 out of 9 penalties.
Right.
So just give him the penalty.
So they were saying, don't be greedy. You've scored a hat-trick already.
That's exactly what they were saying. Right. That's exactly what they're saying. Look, you scored 3. Let me have a go. That's not the point. That's not the point.
I heard somebody saying they were like schoolboys. But
it was
professional footballers are schoolboys. It's a case of arrested development.
Yeah, they're very young.
Yeah, and they never grow up.
No, they don't have to grow up. They've got so many people looking after them and caring for them, doing everything.
They're told what to eat, what don't to
That's
up,
right.
Where to
I was
go.
Embarrassed, you know, as a Chelsea fan, we've had a tough season with ridicule and people saying, oh...
But you're coming good.
We're coming good eventually, you know, at last. It's taken a lot of money, a lot of time, but I think the manager's starting to get it right. There's belief there. It's all about belief and confidence. Yeah. You know, we could go to some other bad team and lose 6-0. Well, you just don't know with Chelsea. You don't know what Chelsea's going to turn up. We play Man City for the Cup this weekend, so hopefully we'll do them. Not 6-0, obviously.
Of course, they're playing well, but they're seeming to be plateauing, if not dipping a little bit.
Well,
now, your family, 2 children.
Mm-hmm.
Gianluca, you were very public about Gianluca at the start. How is Gianluca?
Gianluca's fantastic. He's nearly 3. He is really well. He's a fit, lovely boy. And I miss him a lot.
He's born with
gastroschisis, which is when your bowel is born outside of your stomach.
Oh.
And he was rushed to Great Ormond Street Hospital. He was there for 2 months. And gradually he had about 5 operations where they gradually make the stomach bowels kind of go back into the body. And I'd signed five forms, basically, to say your son might not wake up. And, this, you know, it was 2 months of pure hell. It was awful, awful.
How does that change you as a person?
It's changed me as a person, as in I'm now a parent and I realised fundamentally this is the meaning of life for me, being a parent. You know, I love my children. But second one's unborn yet. We've got another month.
Sorry.
But I love Gianluca.
Sorry. Yeah,
that's
course.
Okay. I love Gianluca more than I've ever loved anything in the world. And, you know, I can say to anybody who haven't got kids, you want kids. It's the greatest, greatest. I would swap everything I've ever done in my life.
Some people don't want them. Some people
career.
Can't have
that's
them.
Right.
You know, that's
yes, exactly. People who don't want them or can't have them, I understand.
Will the tour be finished? Will you be back?
I'll be back before the baby's born.
Right.
Yeah, before the baby's born. And hopefully, touch wood, there'll be no complications. But yeah.
And do you know if it's a boy or a girl?
This is going to be another boy.
All right.
So we're, you know, we're 1/5 of the way there through a football team. So. or.
Yeah.
2/5 of the way to a basketball
and
team.
And does Gianluca understand that there's a little baby brother on the way?
He does. He does. He keeps pointing to the baby. And it's. Like I said, I would swap everything, every success I've had in the whole world, I would swap for the safety and well-being of my children. I really would.
Right. So Beppe, like, really well known, and you were a bit of a sex symbol. I'm not saying that you're not now,
right,
Michael.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because back in the day, I used to get, my daughter loves you, my sister loves you. Now I get, my nan loves you, my great-grandma used to love you. You know, it was being a sex symbol was, it's something that I've never really, I've always laughed at.
Yeah.
Because I don't see myself as that person at all, you know.
You were in the prequel, the Hunger Games prequel movie, which was out last year. I think it's on one of the streamers soon. What was that like? That's a
it
big
was great,
franchise,
yeah.
isn't it?
I was gutted because I had a really nice role. I was the benefactor of the Hunger Games and the father of one of the main guys. Had a few scenes with Viola Davis and Peter Dinklage. And I thought, this is great for me. You know, some huge Hollywood movie. Yeah. We were filming in Berlin up to 6 months on and off. And I haven't seen the film yet, but my friend went to see it and said they've cut some of your scenes, which I was gutted about, really gutted. But, you know, I'm in it, so that's fine. But I think what the mistake they now know they've made is this film they should have made into two separate films. Because the thing is, it's about 3 hours long.
Right, right.
So they've cut so much. Uh-huh. And still, it's nearly 3 hours.
They should have made it into two films, really,
which would have been better
for me. Don't get me going on the length of movies, Michael.
Really?
Like, it's just, they're too long.
Yeah. They are, some of them. Yeah. Some of the Marvel, I'm not a Marvel fan. I can't stand them, but I think some of them are over 3 hours.
They are, yeah. And like, you can do them in two sittings, but it doesn't, because, you know, you sit down to watch a movie and you're in a certain humour to watch a certain movie.
Yeah.
You're not going to go an hour and a half, okay, we'll watch this again tomorrow night, because you're in a completely different humour for something else.
That's right.
The next night.
Have you seen The Irishman, the Martin Scorsese?
Yes,
now, that
yes.
is a film you can watch at home on Netflix, so you can have a break.
You can have a break,
but that's about 3 hours, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, you can have a nap, make a cup of tea.
You do what you want.
Start a career.
That's right, and come back and watch the rest. Yeah, exactly.
So 12 Angry Men is in Bord Gáis Energy Theatre. Michael Greco is juror number 7, and it runs, I better get this right, it runs until when?
This Saturday night.
Yeah, 20th of April.
Yeah, can I just say we are virtually sold out. Okay. I think tonight and tomorrow night there are some seats left. But for a theatre that holds over 2,000, we're virtually sold out.
And it's great reviews from your tour of the UK.
Yeah.
And good luck with everything, including the new arrival.
Yes.
Michael, lovely meeting you. Thanks
lovely.
So much. Thank you.
Cormac
and Sarah on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday evening.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.